I want to read some out of Joshua this morning in the 24th chapter. It's hard to break into a reading like this, but I believe I'll go back to about the 6th verse. And he's talking here to the Israelite children. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with their chariots and their horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, I put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness for a long season. Reminding these people a little what had gone on beforehand, and he said that they knew what had happened, what he had done in Egypt. And from the stories that we have read from childhood up, we know of the many plagues that was brought upon the Egyptian people before Pharaoh let the Israelites go. And then he lamented the fact that he had, and he pursued after them. And the Lord caused that his army would be destroyed. And we know the story of how they were preserved in the wilderness for that 40 years. One of the great miracles of all time, the fact that the people journeyed there and their clothes did not wear out, and they provided food. Something beyond what any imagination could understand. Only a miracle of the Lord could have brought this to pass. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess the land, and I destroyed them before you. Again, the Lord protecting his people and watching over them. And Balak, the son of Zippor, and king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called for Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore, he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And ye went over Jordan, and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Gergesites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. It wasn't their strength nor power that caused them to win these battles, but it was the grace of the Lord and his power and him working his great miracles to give this land unto the Israelite children. And this story, we know, is given here for us to listen or to read and to understand, realizing that God done this for those people, and he also is going to be able to do it again when the time comes. I hope that we don't have to suffer the conditions that these people did have to suffer under and be driven for 40 years. But I do hope that the people of the church, that sometime in the future when the time comes that they are to be gathered together, that we will hearken unto the word of the Lord and follow his ways, that we might be able to inherit the things that he's promised unto us. And here in the 13th verse, "And I gave unto you a land for which ye did not labor." He gave unto them this land, but they didn't labor for it. "And cities which ye did not build." They didn't build these great cities. "And ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat." Now these people didn't plant these vineyards and so on, but they was able to use them. They didn't build the cities, but they were able to live in them. And this verse here reminds me of a story that my Aunt Olive Hubbard told as she walked in Independence. It's been many years ago. And she had been reading and studying the fact that sometime that would be a city of the Lord, and the righteous people would inherit it and live there. And she wondered how that the people would be able to build a city and to occupy it and live there. And as she walked along the street, it was made known unto her that they didn't have to build it, that it was already there. The same as these people back here 1,400 years before Christ. The Lord had a plan for them, and he had a place for them to go. And as they went there, they found that the cities were already built. They destroyed some of the cities, we know. But many of them, they went in and occupied, and they lived there. And they used the fields that was already being plowed. The same as the Lord would intend for the saints to do at another time, I'm sure. That he intends, when the time comes to gather to Zion, that he plans for the people to use the things that are there, that are good for them to have. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." Now that is very important, isn't it? To serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. "And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, in Egypt, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Now, if they were to say those words to the people today, especially people that believe that they believe in Christ, they might not understand that. But I think there's many people today that profess to believe in the Lord that don't serve him. And many people have other gods that they're serving. I think that you can see around about us many people that are serving gods that isn't the true God. Whatever they seek after with all their heart, that's what they're serving. If they're seeking after gold, that's what they're serving. If they're searching after fame, that's the type of thing that they're going to serve. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether it be the gods which your fathers served, or that were on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites, whose land in which ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods." I wonder if people today would say that. If we would have to go out and ask them, "Serve what God you might think you'd like the best." Most of them would say they were going to serve God. But many of them wouldn't. "For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in the way whither we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. All those great things that was done for them. And it was their God that had done it. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God, and he is a jealous God. He will not forget your transgressions or your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve other gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are a witness against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, he said, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Now many times throughout history, people have pledged that they would serve the Lord. And some have. Some have followed after the Lord and have been blessed. Others will follow a little ways and they'll turn to one side or the other. And it's very important that we remain faithful unto the end. I want to read a little bit out of Jeremiah. The 29th chapter. Beginning with the first verse. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah, the prophet, sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders, which he carried away captive unto the priests and the prophets. Got the wrong verse here. Yeah, I believe I better start with about the 10th verse. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years he accomplished, be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call on me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. It says there that, and ye shall seek for me, and ye shall find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your hearts. This means that a person has got to put forth every bit of effort they can into searching after the Lord. And I want to drop on down here a few verses. I believe I'll read the 14th here. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again unto this place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Here, promising that these people, that they are going to be blessed. They have been carried away captive, but he was going to bring them back. And I think that we will see a time again when his people will be able to be more blessed. Now, when he might call that we might gather together, I have no idea. But sometime, as he did for these people, he's going to look after his own. And when that time comes, we want to be sure to be listening, that we might follow his direction and his words. I want to go over into Isaiah for us, the 55th chapter. Beginning with the first verse. And he's speaking unto his people and advising them what they should do. Every one of you that thirsteth, cometh ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come, yea, buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. We're going to be able to take part of his salvation and his blessings without money or without price. The only thing we're going to have to do is to bring a broken heart and a contrite spirit to it. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Incline your ear and come unto me. That would be to listen, and if you listen, you should pay attention, shouldn't you? And if we pay attention, we're going to do that which he is going to direct us to do. And down in the 6th verse, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. We can find many places in the Book of Mormon where they didn't do this, where they went astray, or in the Bible, as far as that goes, many, many places. While the Lord was near, they didn't seek after him. And many times, they suffered many hardships because of this. And we know today that a lot of the hardships in the world are because they're not seeking after the Lord. If we found a very righteous place, I'm sure we would find a place that was happy and prosperous. We know right after the crucifixion of Christ, for 200 years the people lived in peace and harmony here on this continent. And there is only one thing that would cause that to come to pass now, and that's righteous people. And there's only one thing that would cause it not to come to pass, and that's people that aren't righteous. In the 7th verse it says, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For as my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Pardon me, in the 8th verse, and my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be, that it goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. Now we know that his word has been sent forth, and we know it's going to accomplish the things that he intended. And it is important that we see that we are part of that organization and that effort to see that those things are accomplished. Now the Lord isn't going to twist our arms to do it, but if we seek after him, he will guide us and direct us in the way to go. But if we search his ways, he's going to be standing there to help us. I remember of a fellow downtown here that was wanting to quit smoking. He'd smoked for a long time, and he said he just couldn't do it, and that the Lord just wasn't helping him to quit smoking. And the fellow says, well, now what do you expect the Lord to do? Come down and take the cigarette away from you and get ready to light it? The Lord isn't going to do that. But he will give us courage to accomplish what we need to do. But he isn't going to force us to do anything. We find in the scripture several places where the Lord told the people what they should do and what would happen if they didn't do it. And they went about doing the things that they desired, and they were destroyed. We can go to the story of Nineveh. Jonah went up there and talked to those people and told them what was going to happen, and they believed it, and they repented, and they were saved. Had they not repented, they'd have been destroyed. It's as simple as that. I want to read a few verses out of Mosiah in the 7th chapter. And this is what happens to some people that have been righteous. And it shall come to pass that except this people repent and return unto the Lord their God, they shall be brought into bondage, and none shall deliver them except it be the Lord, the Almighty God. Yea, and it shall come to pass that when they shall cry unto me, I will be slow to hear their cries. Yea, and I will suffer that they be smitten by their enemies. And except they repent in sackcloth and ashes, and cry mightily unto the Lord their God, I will not hear their prayers, neither will I deliver them out of their afflictions. And thus saith the Lord, and thus he commanded me. And Abinadi had spoken these words to these people, trying to get them to seek after the Lord and follow after his ways. And let's read over here in the 9th chapter and see a little bit of what happened. The people that did not follow after the Lord. Beginning with the 51st verse here. The 151st. And they went again to battle, but they were driven back again, suffering much loss. Yea, they went again, even a third time, and suffered in a like manner. And those that were not slain returned again unto the city of Nephi. And they did humble themselves, even to the dust, submitting themselves to the yoke of bondage, submitting themselves to be smitten and driven to and fro, and burdened according to the desires of their enemies. Here they were a people that had been brought into bondage. A short while back I read about the people that were brought into bondage and turned unto the Lord, and the Lord gave them strength that they might bear up under their burdens and couldn't even feel them. But here these people were put in bondage and were smitten. And they did humble themselves even to the depths of humility, and they did cry mightily to God. Yea, even all the day long did they cry unto their God, that he would deliver them out of their afflictions. I wonder if the world commenced praying in this manner today, what would happen? I'm sure that there'd be a great change made. And now the Lord was slow to hear their cry because of their iniquities. They had been a wicked people, and he didn't hear their cries too quickly. And I'm afraid that's where we might stand today in the world. Many people have been very wicked, and the Lord might be just a little slow to hear them. Nevertheless, the Lord did hear their cries and began to soften the hearts of the Lamanites, that they began to ease their burdens. Yea, the Lord did not see fit to deliver them out of their bondage. He was lifting their burden, but he was not taking them completely out of bondage. And it came to pass that they began to prosper by degrees in the land, and began to raise grain more abundantly, and flocks and herds, that they did not suffer with hunger. This alone would be a great blessing. For if you had been in bondage and you had been hungry, to have the burdens lifted a little bit and to have sufficient food would be very great. But how much better it would have been if this people had followed after the Lord all of the time. And we look in our own church. It doesn't seem that we've made much headway in well over 100 years. But there is people striving to do that which is right and to follow after the ways of the Lord. And as this takes place, the Lord is going to bless that people. And the more diligent they become, and the more sincere they become, the more they're going to be blessed. And the more that the Lord is going to make it to where that we will be able to go out and do the work which he has intended for us to do. And his word isn't going to go out void. It's going to accomplish the things that he intended for it to do. As we look in the Old Testament, as they came out of the land of Egypt and went up through the 40 years in the wilderness and took the land of their inheritance, the Lord caused the things that he wanted to be done to be accomplished. I want to read a little bit out of the 7th chapter of Alma. Beginning with the 40th verse. Now, as he was speaking to these people, this was before Christ had been born, it says, "And not many days hence the Son of God shall come in his glory, and his glory shall be the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, equity, and truth, full of patience, mercy, and long-suffering, quick to hear the cries of the people, and to answer their prayers." That's what Christ wants to do for the people. "And behold, he cometh and redeemeth those who will be baptized unto repentance through faith on his name. Therefore prepare ye the way of the Lord, for the time is at hand that all men shall reap the reward of their works according to that which hath been, according to that which hath been. Now this was before Christ's time, but these conditions that existed then are not much different than what we have right today. And he will allow us to come in and partake of his goodness only if we repent and follow after his words. And it goes ahead and tells what kind of things that we must needs have done. If they have been righteous, they shall reap the salvation of their souls according to the power and deliverance of Christ. And if they have been evil, they shall reap damnation of their souls according to the power and captivity of the devil. And I wonder how much evil work is being done in the world that people are going to have to answer to, and how much good work has been done. Now behold, this is the voice of an angel crying unto the people. And now, my beloved brethren, for ye are my brethren, and ye had ought to be beloved, and ye had ought to bring forth works which are meet for repentance, seeing that your hearts have been grossly hardened against the word of God, and seeing that ye are a lost and fallen people. Now it came to pass that when I, Alma, had spoken these words, behold, the people were wroth with me, because I said unto them that they was a hard-hearted and stiff-necked people. And also because I said unto them that they were a lost and a fallen people, they were angry with me, and sought to lay their hands upon me, that they might cast me into prison. Now what those people wanted to hear was that they were doing fine and that all was well. But Alma couldn't say that, could he? He had to tell them the truth. And he told them that they were a stiff-necked people and that they were a fallen people. Now I wonder if you went out to preach today, if you went out and told people the truth like this, how many people would follow after you? But what they would want to hear is that they were a righteous and a good people and were going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now that's what the people want to hear. They don't want to hear anything that might step on their toes, whether it be us or whether it be someone else. But here I am, told these people the truth. And what did they want to do? They wanted to cast him into prison. But it came to pass that the Lord did not suffer them that they should take me at that time and cast me into prison. The Lord watched after him. And it came to pass that Amulek went and stood forth and began to preach unto the people also. And now the words of Amulek are not all written. Nevertheless, a part of the words are written in this book. Here is a record that we can turn to and find out what happened to those people in those days when they were righteous and when they were unrighteous. And it tells us what is going to happen in the future. Some of these words, if you just change the times, they would fit this day and time almost perfectly. And it's up to us to see that we have followed after the ways of the Lord, that we might be able to be found in his favor, that we might be a blessed people, and that we might be able to lead others unto him. But if we fail to follow after these words, we will have to answer to it why we didn't. and why we didn't guide others unto the Lord also. So it's our duty to follow these words and strive to keep those commandments, that we might be an example before those we come in contact with, and also that we might live close enough to the Lord that when He speaks, that we might hear and that we might know what we are to do.